six essays by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the six faults obstructive to bhakti, Upadeshamrita verse 2. Atyahar, overeating or overcollecting. In his Sri Upadeshamrita verse 2, Srila Rupa Goswami has written, Atyahara prasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha lolyamcha shadbir bhakti vinashyati. Bhakti is destroyed by the following six kinds of faults. 1. Eating too much or collecting more than necessary. 2. Endeavoring for that which is opposed to bhakti. 3. Engaging in useless mundane talk. 4. Failing to adopt essential regulations or being fanatically attached to regulations. 5. Associating with persons who are opposed to bhakti. And 6. Possessing a greed or restlessness of mind to adopt worthless opinions. It is highly necessary to consider the deep meaning of this verse. For those who desire to engage themselves in the practice of supremely pure bhakti, it is essential to strictly follow this verse's instructions. For devotees who are lax in following these instructions, Hari Bhakti is rarely attained. It is only for sincere practitioners whose hearts are eager to attain Bhagavad Bhakti that we are explaining the purport of this verse, in which the following six impediments on the path of bhakti are mentioned. 1. Atyahara. 2. Prayasa. 3. Prajalpa. 4. Niyam Agraha. 5. Janasangaha. And 6. Lolya. We will sequentially describe each of the above mentioned impediments. In the following short essay, we will describe the meaning of Atyahara. The word Atyahara does not mean only eating too much. The word Atyahara means overeating, does not mean only eating too much. The first verse of Sri Upadeshamrita mentions Vacho Vega Manasakroda Vegam Jiva Vegam Udra Upasta Vegam Itan Vegan Yo Vishehet Diraha Sarvam Apimam Prithvim Sashishyat. He who can tolerate the urge to speak, the urge of the mind, the urge of anger, the urge of the tongue, the urge of the belly, and the urge of the genitals, and does not deviate, that is, remain steady, is a sober person and can instruct the entire world. Here, the urge of the tongue, jivva vega, indicates the desire to taste palatable foods, and the urge of the belly, udar vega, indicates the desire to overeat. If we also understand the word atyahara to mean the desire to overeat, then because Sri Upadeshamrita is presented as a concise compilation of the essence of the principles of bhakti, such a definition would possess the fault of repetition or redundancy. In this situation, it is incumbent on the readers to correctly investigate any additional purports of the word Atyahara that the exceedingly profound personality Sri Rupa Goswami has given. In this situation, it is incumbent on the readers to correctly investigate any additional purports of the word Atyahara that the exceedingly profound personality Sri Rupa Goswami has given. There is no doubt that the primary meaning of the word Ahar is food, but the word food also implies the enjoyment of the five senses. For example, form is food for the eyes, sound is food for the ears, fragrance is food for the nose, taste is food for the tongue, and the tactile sensation of smoothness, roughness, coolness, warmth, and other sensations are food for the skin. Embodied souls will invariably enjoy these sense objects. Without doing so, it is impossible for them to sustain their lives. If the conditional living entities were to completely abandon sense enjoyment, they would surely leave their body. Therefore, total renunciation of sense objects is simply an imaginary concept. In reality, it is not possible. What then are we to do in such a situation? It is our duty to maintain our lives in a way that is favorable for bhakti. Shri Krishna has instructed Arjuna as follows: Nahi kashyat shanam api jato tishtati akarma krita karyati hi avashya karma sarva prakriti jaye guna karmindriyani samyamya ya ashte manasa smaran indri arthan vimudatma mithya achara sa uchet. Bhagavad Gita 3.56. No one can remain inactive, not even for a moment. Everyone is impelled to act under the influence of such qualities as attachment and hate, which are born of one's nature. A deluded person who forcibly restrains his working senses while internally meditating on sense object is to be known as a hypocrite. No person can at any time exist without performing some action. In other words, although a person with an impure consciousness may renounce the pious actions called karma prescribed in Shastra, he is induced to continue performing activities related to practical life due to his being subject to the modes of material nature. Therefore, he is not to renounce those actions that Shastra prescribes as a means to purify the consciousness. How will a person whose consciousness has not been purified benefit by externally or forcefully controlling his working senses, such as his arms, legs, and speech? He will continue to meditate on the objects of his active senses and thus be known as a foolish hypocrite. No one can live for a moment without performing action. Therefore, it is essential to perform action that is beneficial. If that action is performed with indifference to Bhagavad Bhakti, however, it will be the cause of material bondage. For this reason, the action required to sustain one's life should be favorable for Bhagavad Bhakti. Only then is it Bhakti Yoga. The procedure for accepting sense objects. Shri Krishna further mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Nati ashnatastu yogo asti na chaikantam anashananta na chati swapna shilasya jagrito naiva charjuna yukta hara viharasya yukta chetasya karmasu yukta swapna avabuddhasya yogo bhavati dukaha. Bhagavad Gita 6.16.17. This yoga cannot be perfected by those who eat excessively, eat too little, sleep excessively, or sleep too little. Rather, this yoga which destroys suffering is perfected by those who regulate their eating and enjoyment, as well as their sleep and wakefulness. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyate tattvavid pashyan shravanam sparshanam jigrahan asanam gacham swapanam shavasan pralapanam visrajan grihanan unmisham nimeshanam api indriyandriyad artheshu vartante iti dharayan. Bhagavad Gita 5.89. A karma yogi sees, hears, touches, smells, eats, walks, sleeps, breathes, talks, renounces, accepts and opens and shut his eyes. But because of his knowledge of the Absolute Truth, Tattva Gyan, he believes, I am not doing anything. It is only this body in which I am situated that is doing everything. Being bound by ignorance, I only assess and reflect on these actions. After self-realization is attained, the mentality of being the doer or enjoyer is removed. Those who eat too much or too less, and those who sleep too much or too less, do not attain perfection in yoga. Whereas a person who eats, enjoys, and sleeps moderately, according to his needs, does. The sadhak should reflect in this way. All my senses are wandering after the objects of the senses, but I am a pure soul, and therefore beyond such things. One should accept the objects of the senses with such discrimination. The renunciation of karma and jnana leads to perfection in bhakti yoga. Although this instruction to accept the objects of the senses with discrimination seems more relevant to jnana, it can also be favorable for bhakti. The concluding verse of Bhagavad Gita instructs complete surrender, sharanagati, indicating that the process of fruitive action, karma, and acquiring knowledge of the impersonal Brahm, jnana, are to be completely given up, and that all sense objects are to be accepted with the understanding that they are the mercy of Bhagwan. In this way, perfection in bhakti yoga is attained. Implementing Yukta Vairagya in one's life. Sri Rupa Goswami mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.125-126 Anasaktasya Vishayan Yata Harm Upayajantaha Nirbandaha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate Prapanchikataya Buddhaya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mumukshubhi Parityago Vairagyam Falgu Kathayate. Appropriate renunciation, Yukta Vairagya, is to accept objects favorable for one's service to Sri Krishna, while being detached from that which is unrelated to Him, and ardently attached to that which is related to Him. Person who desires liberation renounces the scriptures, the deity, the holy name, Mahaprasad, Shri Guru, and anything else that is related to Hari, considering them to be worldly. This is called false renunciation, Falgu Vairagya. Sri Rupa Goswami has revealed the purport of the above mentioned two verses by advising sadhakas to abandon over-collecting, Atyahar. The purport here is that accepting the objects of the senses with the inclination to enjoy them falls in the category of Atyahar. But if we accept in moderate quantities those things that are favorable for bhakti, understanding them to be Bhagwan's mercy, Bhagavad Prasad, then it is not Atyahar. When the objects of the senses are received with simplicity and regarded as Bhagwan's mercy, they become Yuktahar, or appropriate objects of consumption on the path of bhakti. Yukta Vairagya is easily achieved in this way. Shriman Mahaprabhu instructed, accept the objects of the senses with detachment and constantly chant Krishna Nam. Do not endeavor for opulent food or clothing. Accept whatever pure Bhagavat Prasad is attained through little effort. This regulation is to be carried out by a devotee throughout the course of his life. One should accumulate objects in accordance with one's objective. By collecting more than necessary, the sadhaka, being subjugated by fondness for the objects he has collected, will not attain his highest goal, paramartha. And by accepting less than is necessary, he will be unable to maintain his body, which is useful for performing bhajan. The first verse of Sri Upadeshamrita gives the instruction to control the urges of the tongue and the belly. The purport is that a worldly person or one bound by maya, being either distressed by hunger pains or extremely agitated upon seeing palatable foodstuffs in front of him, runs to eat them. This is one type of material urge. When such an urge is strongly present in the heart of a sadhak, he must immediately subdue that urge by devotional contemplation. The second verse of Sri Upadeshamrita gives the instruction to renounce Atyahar, which is an eternal principle of Bhakti Sadhana. The Atyahar of householders and that of renunciates are categorically different. There is one more point in this regard. There are different considerations for householders, grihasthas, and for renunciants, Tyagi, in regard to Atyahar. In accordance with his religious duty, Dharma, a householder can earn and collect whatever is necessary for the maintenance of his family. With those assets, he can serve Bhagwan and his devotees, maintain his family, welcome guests, and manage his life. Although householders may earn and collect, if they endeavor to collect more than necessary, it becomes an obstacle to their practice of bhakti and to receiving Krishna's mercy. Both earning and collecting more than required are atyahar. Of this, there is no doubt. Renunciants, however, should never accumulate anything. They incur the fault of atyahar by being dissatisfied with their daily collection of alms. To eat excessively upon receiving palatable foodstuffs is also atyahar. Therefore, both householder and renunciate Vaishnava practitioners should carefully deliberate on atyahar in regard to their respective positions and perform Krishna bhajan while remaining far from this fault. In this way, they will very soon attain the mercy of Sri Krishna.